I am 41. The 29th of April, 1994, to the 28th of April, 1995. Over. Steve Wright in the Afternoon by Anthony Dunandrin. April. Yesterday, I was 40 years old, and now I'm 41. Not quite ripe, but not young anymore either. Young children believe me to be as old as Methuselah. But in the music press, which is typically more concerned with youth and novelty than most, I was young enough last year to still be thought of as cool. The newsagent knows that I'm sort of famous, and perhaps I will impress him by turning up on the front page of some newspaper or magazine, whether for fame or infamy. Someone has left their radio on in the kitchen, and Steve Wright is trying to get me to have a good time. I am having a good time, Steve. Don't you worry about me. Steve puts the Prince single on, The Most Beautiful Girl in the World. Prince changed his name last year to a symbol. They call him the Artist sometimes. His record label sent out a load of floppy disks with his new name, that symbol, as a font. I like that idea. May. I spoke with the accomplice this week. All business plans and projections. He wants us to start a company. He loves the heavy industry, the machinery, riding around in it. I do too. Maybe we should do the whole thing, make it an actual plant hire company, go legit after all these years, and instead of just a couple of diggers, buy 40 of them and some earth movers, maybe some tunnel boring kit. The Channel Tunnel opened this month. If we'd got our shit together, we could have had a piece of the action ploughing through the earth as if we owned the place. But as it stands, I'll have to make do with taking the train through the thing. If the machinery company goes ahead, I might propose some more tunnels. One under the Solent to the Isle of Wight. One under the Irish Sea. Maybe one to Stavanger from Scotland. But first we need to resolve what currently remains unresolved. And we need to decide what to do with Stonehenge. June. I've spent a lot of time this year talking to art galleries, most of which has not been much fun. It turns out they're sensitive when they think you're taking the pish out of them. I'm not taking the pish, though. I don't have a twinkle in my eyes when I'm talking to them, but maybe they see one anyway. I will keep going. Walk on. Always keep walking on, and let's see what we can see around the next bend, over the next hill. If they won't take what we're offering, somebody, somewhere will. August. I'm in Scotland with the accomplice and a journalist and Gimpo on an island in the Hebrides. It's warm here, it being August, and the whiskey goes down smoothly. Doesn't catch in the throat. Aeroplanes, ferries, vans. It's like being on tour. Our audience was a bit different this time, mind you. There are 200 people on this island and thousands of deer. And us and a video camera. September. Wet, wet, wet have been on Top of the Pops for 15 fucking weeks. Or it might be 17 years. Who is buying it now, after all this time? Perhaps it's a subconscious, collective, national piece of performance art that we've all decided that we will melt our minds by elevating this one song to the peak of pop forever. Meanwhile, Kylie Minogue's new single, her first for 2 years, isn't quite pop like she used to make, but it's good. and it bubbles away beneath the fucking wet, wet, wet waves. October. I watch Jurassic Park at home and wonder what or whom would I bring back to life if I could find their DNA preserved in amber? Elvis, perhaps? He's still got work to do. The following day, I pick through the garden to see whether I can turn up anything that might bring Elvis or anyone else back from nothingness. I turn up some bits of plastic, some small stones, nothing precious, lots of twigs, some discarded long-ago drink cans of uncertain provenance. No amber. Nothing that might help with this quest. It'd be unwise anyway. We wouldn't be the same. He'd be no match to Michael Jackson. December. Aylesbury to London for some Christmas shopping. The streets are full of lights and sounds and happiness and arguments and confusion and surprise and most of all money. The shopping complete, I walk west down Oxford Street from the tatty tourist shops and the big record shops along towards the large department stores with their facades of class, the buttoned-up primness of John Lewis to the faded haughtiness of Selfridges. I reach Marble Arch, and instead of turning towards the station, I need to get home by train. I decide to keep walking, hands full with shopping bags and striking out against the cold. I walk west, along the north side of Hyde Park, and the embassies and the big cars of the ambassadors. I could keep walking, I think, all the way to Aylesbury. But by the time I reach Shepherd's Bush, I reach the conclusion that there's nothing to be gained on the A40. So I get on the tube instead. March. I've been working out how to build a boat. My house is 50 miles at least from the sea, but this boat will never go in the water. It will live on land and will be a sign, a totem of, well, I'm not too sure what. I can let people use it. They can come and borrow it for the day at a time, as long as they promise never to let it into the water. Rain is fine. It'll be weatherproofed, but that's it. April. Someone has left the radio on in the kitchen, and Steve Wright is trying to get me to have a good time. I am having a good time, Steve. Don't you worry about me.
Under. Two Empty Pages by Stuart Young.